Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Israel's military has begun a ground offensive targeting Gaza City and said its intensified operation aims to destroy Hamas military infrastructure. Residents still in the city were warned they must leave and head south.
The Israeli military has announced its operation in Gaza City to destroy Hamas's military infrastructure is now in gear and warns residents to move south. The announcement follows a night of heavy strikes against northern Gaza that killed at least 20 people. Israel's been warning Gaza City residents to evacuate for the past month ahead of the operation, but many have said they're unable to evacuate due to overcrowding in Gaza South and the high price of transport. Also on Tuesday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio left Israel to go to Gaza, where he meets with its ruling emir as the nation still incensed over Israel's strike on Hamas last week. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
At a briefing, UN Commission Chair Navi Pillay says her team of independent human rights experts has concluded Israel is committing genocide in Gaza.
The goal of the Israeli government is abundantly clear as we continue to witness the destruction of Palestinians in Gaza. The commission finds it is genocide.
Pillay says responsibility for the alleged genocide in Gaza lies with Israel's top leaders. Israel has rejected this claim, calling the expert's report distorted and false. In the U.S., prosecutors are preparing to file a capital murder charge today against Tyler Robinson, the 22-year-old man accused of fatally shooting conservative activist Charlie Kirk. And also today, FBI Director Kash Patel will confront skeptical Senate Democrats at a congressional hearing. He'll likely be asked about the investigation into Kirk's assassination, as well as recent firings of senior officials who have accused Patel of illegal political retribution. And Luigi Mangione is due in court today as his lawyers push to have his state murder charges thrown out in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. His lawyers argue that the New York case and a parallel federal death penalty prosecution amount to double jeopardy.
Luigi Mangione, accused of murdering UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson on a Manhattan street in December, is set to appear in state court Tuesday over legal issues surrounding the case. Part of what needs to be hashed out is whether the Manhattan DA or federal prosecutors will try Mangione first. The feds stepped in and charged him with capital murder, which carries the death penalty, something New York does not have. Under state law, he faces 25 years to life. The hearing could establish a date for the first trial. Mangione also has an illegal gun charge in Pennsylvania, where he was caught after someone at a McDonald's spotted him. He denies all the charges. The case sparked international attention and wide debate about targeted killings. The feds say Mangione had hoped to inspire others to embrace violence over reasoned debate. Julie Walker, New York.
And for the first time in almost 30 years, Colombia has been added to a list of nations who the U.S. says is failing to cooperate in the drug war. This move comes as relations strain between the Trump administration and Colombia's leftist president. More information at APNews.com. This is AP News.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
AP correspondent Haya Pinjwani reports on Lisa Cook's Federal Reserve role.
An appeals court has ruled that Lisa Cook can remain a Federal Reserve governor just ahead of a key interest vote. The Trump administration is expected to quickly turn to the Supreme Court in a last-ditch attempt to unseat her. The Fed's next two-day meeting to consider its interest rate move begins Tuesday morning. And Cook's lawsuit seeking to permanently block her firing must still make its way through the courts. Trump tried to fire Cook in August, but a federal judge ruled last week that the removal was illegal and reinstated her. The Trump administration has accused Cook of mortgage fraud because she appeared to claim two properties as primary residences before she joined the board. Such claims can lead to a lower mortgage rate and smaller down payment than if one of them was declared as a rental property or a second home. Cook has denied the charges. Haya Pinjwani, Washington.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
President Trump is again threatening to take over Washington, D.C.'s police force. The president's emergency order that federalized police here in the nation's capital expired last week. Days before that, Mayor Muriel Bowser had said the city would stop cooperating with immigration and customs enforcement officials once the order ran out.
Immigration enforcement is not what MPD does.
While the president has touted his order for improving crime,
Washington, D.C. is a totally safe city.
He's warning on social media crime could increase if D.C. stops cooperating on immigration enforcement, and says if that happens, he will call a national emergency and federalize if necessary. The Trump administration says it's reached a deal on TikTok's future after weekend trade talks with China.
We do have a framework for a deal with TikTok.
In Madrid, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent gave few details other than saying the deal's goal is to switch the social media platform to U.S. ownership.
President Trump and party chair Xi will speak on Friday to complete the deal.
Congress and the Biden White House approved a U.S. ban on TikTok unless its Chinese parent company sold the controlling stake. President Trump has repeatedly extended a deadline for shutting down the platform. Qatar is hosting an emergency summit of Arab and Islamic nations after Israel's strike on Hamas leaders in Doha last week. Many Mideast nations were already outraged by Palestinian deaths during Israel's war in Gaza. Its strikes on Hamas in other countries have led to wider anger. Qatar's emir says if Israel really wants to free Hamas hostages, why assassinate Hamas negotiators? He says Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu is lying. He doesn't actually want to free hostages. He wants to make Gaza unlivable, calling Israel cowardly and treacherous. It was an unusually fiery speech for a man who's been a key mediator in trying to reach a Gaza ceasefire. Netanyahu earlier said freeing the hostages is a central goal of the war, as is wiping out Hamas.
You can hide, you can run, but we'll get you.
The U.S. and Israel are showing a united front amid growing international anger over Israeli strikes both in Gaza and Qatar. Last week, Israel targeted Hamas leaders in Doha.
I'm not thrilled about it.
But days later, there's no public sign of Trump administration frustration with the Israeli move.
We are focused on what happens now. What happens next?
In Jerusalem, Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu.
A clear message that America stands with Israel.
They agreed the only way to end the Gaza war is by freeing all the hostages and wiping out Hamas.
As long as they're around, there will be no peace in this region, because they are not agents of peace, they are agents of barbarism.
But Israel's facing criticism over plans to occupy Gaza City. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Former federal prosecutor Maureen Comey, she's the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey, sues the U.S. government over her July firing from the Justice Department, saying it came without cause or notice and was unlawful and unconstitutional. The lawsuit filed Monday in Manhattan federal court, where Comey had earned praise for her handling of major complex prosecutions. She became a rising star in her office for her work on the case against financier Jeffrey Epstein and the recent trial of music mogul Sean Diddy Combs. She's suing for reinstatement along with a declaration that her filing was unlawful and a violation of the separation of powers as described in the Constitution. James Comey was fired as FBI director by President Trump in 2017. Julie Walker, New York.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is entering the national battle over control of the U.S. House. The former Republican California governor and action movie star is urging California's voters to reject a November ballot proposal to rejigger districts he says will erode Democratic principles, calling Proposition 50 insane. The proposal, championed by Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom, would temporarily set aside districts crafted by an independent commission and replace them with reshaped districts designed to benefit Democratic candidates. The move by California Democrats is similar to a Republican-led effort in Texas pushed by President Donald Trump. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A potential strike has been averted that could have shut down the nation's largest commuter rail system this week. Workers for the Long Island Railroad say their members voted Monday to authorize the unions to call a strike if an agreement on a new contract is not reached. But leaders of unions representing locomotive engineers, machinists, signalmen, and other train workers say they've also asked President Trump to form an emergency board that will push the possibility of a work stoppage out to January at earliest. Gilman Lang is with the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen.
This action does not mean a strike won't happen, but it does mean that it won't happen now.
Some 250,000 commuters use the LIRR each workday to and from the city and its eastern suburbs. Eitan Peitz became one of the first missing children pictured on milk cartons. His disappearance in New York City helping establish a national missing children hotline. It was 1979. He was 6 years old, walking to the school bus stop alone. The Manhattan DA's office says it will ask the Supreme Court to restore a murder conviction in the case after an appeals court overturned that verdict in July. Prosecutors are also asking the appeals court to hold off on enforcing its decision in the case of Pedro Hernandez, the former convenience store clerk who became a suspect over 30 years after Pates vanished, when police got a tip that he'd made remarks years earlier about having killed a child in New York, not mentioning Eitan's name. Eitan's body was never found. Ghana has sent 14 West Africans deported from the U.S. to their home countries, Nigeria and Gambia. Ghanaian authorities say they accepted them on humanitarian grounds, the country's foreign minister saying that the decision was not an endorsement of U.S. migration policies. Ghana's president, John Mahama, addressed his country about it last week.
The first batch of 14 nationals came. Several of them were Nigerian brothers. They opted to go back home.
A U.S. federal judge had asked the U.S. government to ensure Ghana would not send the deported migrants elsewhere. Opposition in Ghana criticized the move, arguing it raised constitutional and foreign policy concerns. New York Governor Kathy Hochul backing Zoran Mamdani for mayor, giving the Democratic nominee one of his most significant endorsements to date. Writing Sunday in the New York Times opinion section, Hochul said while they diverge on some issues, they come together on addressing the affordability crisis. It's the latest sign Democratic leaders who'd been skeptical of the self-described Democratic socialist are beginning to consolidate around Mamdani. Trump Monday posting on his Truth Social, "This is a rather shocking development and a very bad one for New York City. Washington will be watching this situation very closely. No reason to be sending good money after bad." Trump has repeatedly threatened to withhold federal funds over Mamdani's policies and ideology. Julie Walker, New York.
The biggest winner from the Emmy Awards may be the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. Emmys host Nate Bargatze made a pledge at the top of the broadcast.
I am going to donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America.
Bargatze wanted the Emmy winners to keep their acceptance speeches short, 45 seconds.
If you stay 45 seconds, it stays at $100,000. Every second you go over 45 seconds, we will deduct $1,000 away from the Boys and Girls Club.
Throughout the night, the number kept dropping until it reached negative numbers.
Yeah, that's tough. And the kids are going to take it.
But the Boys and Girls Clubs did get $350,000 from Bargatze and CBS. Their chief development officer says donation totals have more than doubled compared to this time last week. But fundraising strategist T. Clay Buck says in a LinkedIn post, generosity is not about gimmicks, communities are not props, and neighbors' needs are not entertainment. Ratings for the Emmy Awards keep going up. The Emmys telecast on CBS was the most watched since 2021.
I'm so profoundly grateful. Thank you. Sorry, I wrote this on the back of notes that I took in therapy the other day.
Nielsen says it was an 8% increase, about 7.42 million viewers. The all-time low was more than 4 million from the Fox telecast in January of last year, which was delayed by months because of the Hollywood writers and actors strike. The Emmys bring less than half the viewers of the Oscars or Grammys and significantly fewer than the Golden Globes. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm Seth Sutal, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks rose to more records on Wall Street. The S&P 500 climbed 0.5% Monday, beating the all-time high it set last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 49 points. It's about 0.1%. The Nasdaq Composite added 0.9% to its record. Tesla rose 3.6%. That came after CEO Elon Musk bought about $1 billion of the company's stock. Google parent Alphabet rose 4.5%. The company joined the $3 trillion club that also includes Nvidia, Microsoft, and Apple. The Federal Reserve is meeting to discuss interest rates this week. The Fed is widely expected to cut its benchmark rate for the first time this year after seeing signs of weakness in the job market. Seth Sutel, New York.
McDonald's says it plans to invest $200 million over the next 7 years to promote regenerative agriculture practices on cattle ranches. The Chicago burger giant says the investment was its largest to date in support of regenerative agriculture in the U.S. The company has also funded regenerative projects on potato farms in Canada and Europe. Regenerative techniques aim to conserve water, enhance soil health, and reduce the need for synthetic chemicals and fertilizers. Other big companies, including General Mills, Nestle, Walmart, and PepsiCo, have also been investing in regenerative farming projects in recent years. Chinese regulators say that a preliminary investigation found that Nvidia violated anti-monopoly laws and that China will further investigate Nvidia's acquisition of Mellanox. China says that Nvidia did not comply with conditions imposed by Chinese regulators when they granted conditional approval of Nvidia's $6.9 billion acquisition of Mellanox Technologies in 2020. China says it will step up scrutiny of the world's leading chip maker. It's the latest tit-for-tat move between Beijing and Washington in a trade battle over technology, focusing on semiconductors and the equipment to make them. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Rashad White's two-yard touchdown run with 6 seconds remaining lifted the Buccaneers over the Texans 20-19. Baker Mayfield threw two touchdowns and orchestrated the game-winning 11-play 80-yard drive.
Can make it easier on ourselves and try and put teams away earlier, but this is a good team that we played, so we expected a hard-fought battle.
Justin Herbert also tossed two TDs to lead the Chargers past the Raiders 20-9 in the late Monday Night Football game. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow will undergo surgery on his injured left toe and is expected to be out 3 months, according to an AP source. It marks the 28-year-old Burrow's third major injury in his sixth season since being the top overall pick in the 2020 draft. Burrow has emerged as one of the NFL's top quarterbacks, earning 2 Pro Bowl selections and 2 AP Comeback Player of the Year awards. He threw for a career-high 4,918 yards and 43 touchdowns last season. Vikings QB J.J. McCarthy will likely miss the team's next game with a sprained ankle, and Commanders QB Jaden Daniels is dealing with a knee injury. MLB, the Phillies clinched the NL East for a second straight year with a 6-5 win over the Dodgers in 10 innings. Hall of Fame goaltender Ed Giacomin has died. He was 86. The New York Rangers and NHL Alumni Association announced Giacomin's death Monday.
My dream was fulfilled in June of 1965, when the Rangers picked me up.
Giacomin won the Vezina Trophy as the league's top goalie and was a 5-time All-Star during more than a decade with the Rangers from 1965 to 1976. His number one is retired in the rafters at Madison Square Garden in New York.
The Hall of Fame, that wasn't a dream. I never planned on it, but it happened. My number put in the rafters in 89, it happened.
A cause of death death was not immediately available.
When you find something you love to do, you know, it's hard to stop.
Seven-time Super Bowl winning quarterback turned Fox Sports analyst Tom Brady plans to play alongside current and former NFL stars in a three-team flag football tournament in Saudi Arabia next year. The Fanatics Flag Football Classic on March 21st at Kingdom Arena in Riyadh will also include Saquon Barkley, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Max Crosby, and Rob Gronkowski, among others. Las Vegas's Pete Carroll, Denver's Sean Payton, and San Francisco's Kyle Shanahan will be the coaches. Flag football is set to debut at the Olympics at the 2028 LA Games. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
China's Coast Guard has accused a Philippine ship of ramming one of its vessels near Scarborough Shoal. This disputed territory in the South China Sea is claimed by both countries. The Coast Guard reports that over 10 Philippine ships entered the waters around the shoal on Tuesday. They responded with water cannons. The incident follows China's announcement last week designating part of the shoal as a national nature reserve. The Philippines says it's filing a diplomatic protest on this. Several countries, including the US, Britain and Australia, have expressed concern over China's announcement. Pedro Sanchez called for the ban on Israel after Spanish pro-Palestinian activists disrupted the final stage of the Vuelta cycling race in Madrid. Some protesters, carrying anti-Israel banners, partially blocked the road and forced cyclists to stop. More than 1,500 police officers have been deployed ahead of the final stage of the three-week cycling race. In his speech to lawmakers, Sanchez compared Israel to Russia, which has been boycotted from international sports events due to its actions in Ukraine. He questioned the ethics of allowing Israel to participate in international competitions while its military campaign in Gaza continues. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.